I think you could read that one more time with a little more excitement, couldn't you? You are the heavenly host, praising God. So let's do it like we are praising God. And saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
I think he would have been much more pleased with that.
Angels from the hills of glory wing your flight all the earth. Ancient story now proclaimed Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the Shepherds in the fields abiding,
watching o'er your flock.
By now, God with man is now residing, infant life. Come and worship, worship Christ the angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strain.
Before we go on, we have a lot of people still coming in. Could you move a little closer to one another? We're trying to save from having the ushers have to serve communion upstairs in the balcony. So if you can move in, this is good family time. You want to be nice and close to those family members you haven't seen since last Christmas. And so just get in there and hug real tight. And for those of you who are coming in, we are singing page 133.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Peace on earth
and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
Joyful nations rise,
join the triumph. Proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn.
133, we're on verse 2. For those of you coming into the balcony, we do have the balcony open up here now, so you can file on up there. Verse 2.
Christ by highest heavens adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Behold Him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Jesus, our Emmanuel, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Stay standing for another moment, if you will. You'll probably do a lot of sitting over the next day or so. Number 145, O Come, All Ye Faithful. And if you feel like you need to sit down, feel free to sit down. There's no penalty for it. And we would encourage you to do that if you need to sit down. We have both balconies now open for those of you who are still coming in. We'll do all three verses of 145.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem.
Come and behold Him,
born the King of Angels.
Adore Him.
Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to have the ushers now come and prepare to serve you. But before they come, I want to tell you a story that I think will help to set the mood for what we are celebrating tonight. The story concerns a man by the name of Horville Sachs. Perhaps you've heard of Horville. He's not that well known, and his story is not that well known. But I believe it says something to us about what the Christmas season is all about. As the story goes, Horville found himself working in the basement of a large corporation where he just happened to be the mailroom clerk. And Horville always wished that somehow he could be promoted on up to the floor above him and get into a more important position. And one day he was very frustrated with his work, and he was very angry with himself and very angry with the lot that he was given in life. And all at once he saw this bug scurrying across the floor. And he looked at that poor hapless bug and he thought, well, I'm bigger than that bug and I can smash that bug, so I think that's what I'll do. But before he smashed the bug spoke to him. Now, this is a fable, in case you haven't guessed by now. But the bug said, Mister, if you will spare my life, I will give you any wish, any desire that you would wish, anything that you could hope for. So Horville thought, well, it's certainly worth a try. I'm not getting anywhere on my own. And so he listened to the bug. He spared the bug's life. And so the bug said, okay, anything you wish. He said, I would like to be promoted to the second floor. Zap, that quickly, Horville found himself on the second floor. But before long, he heard footsteps on the ceiling above him. And he said, what's that? Somebody said, well, there's another floor up there. He thought, well, I'd like to be promoted to the third floor. And zap, that quickly, the bug promoted him to the third floor. But before very long, Horville heard the footsteps above his head again and found out there was another floor. He still wasn't as high as he could go. And so he asked the bug one more time to promote him. And zap, that quickly, he was made sales manager on the third floor. Well, this went on through 96 floors. I'm going to spare you all that tonight. But finally, Horville ends up on the 96th floor, and he thought, this is as high as I can go. And he went out on the roof to visit the plush facilities, athletic facilities, the indoor swimming pool, and he's sitting there, when all at once he hears a tiny voice. And he looks over, and here's a little boy on his knees, and Horville walks over to him. And he said, son, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm praying. He said, well, who are you praying to? And the little boy pointed that way and said, to God. And Horville panicked. He thought, you mean there's somebody even more important than I am, who's higher than I am? And he summoned the bug one more time. He said, Mr. Bug, I want you to make me God. I want you to give me the position that God would have if he were here on earth. And zap, that quickly, he was back down in the basement as a mailroom clerk. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant to serve us, was made in the likeness of men. He was more than just a man, but he was every bit a man. Made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient as a servant, even unto death. The horrible death, the most horrible form of execution in that day was to die on a Roman cross. And Jesus voluntarily, willingly went to that cross because it was the only way by which we All the world, as we saw a moment ago, could be saved. But the message goes out to all the world, and that means each one of us. Through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that His death was adequate to cover our sins, we are ushered into a relationship with the living God of the universe. And we know that our sins have been forgiven. And we know that when we die, and life is so uncertain, that when our numbers call, that we will go to be with Him. And that's what Christmas is all about. God with us. God coming down in the form of a man. We'll never understand it. Paul said, "Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh." Even the great theologian, Paul, never fully understood this great mystery. It's too much for us, but we know it's true. And so we celebrate, and I'm going to ask the men to come at this time. And I would just simply like to remind you that Jesus, the night in which He was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and He gave to His disciples. This was after they'd celebrated together the Passover meal. And then He had one more celebration for them that He put in motion, that which was to be celebrated until He comes again. And here we are doing it 2,000 years later. And that celebration centered in celebrating the death of Christ, His body for ours, His blood for ours. And so as we celebrate tonight His coming in Bethlehem's manger, let's look beyond the manger and let's see the cross, because that's the reason for which He ultimately came. And I would just simply encourage you this tonight, if you are a dad or a mom, a grandpa or grandma, and you don't know Jesus Christ, then we would encourage you not to participate with us, because this is for believers only. But it doesn't matter what part of the country you come from, doesn't matter what church you're a part of. If you know Jesus Christ, then we encourage you to participate in this, because this is His body. This is given in remembrance of Him. It's not actually His body, but it's a memorial, like a picture. We say, "This is my dad." My dad and mom are both with the Lord, and I pull out a picture and I say, "This is my dad. This is my mom. It's not really my dad. It's not really my mom, but this is what they looked like when they were here." And so in the same way, the bread reminds us of His body, and the blood reminds us of His, or rather the cup reminds us of His blood that was shed. So we're going to have the men go ahead and pass as Phyllis just silently plays on the organ. And as she does, I would encourage you to take these moments and just search your own heart and confess any sin that may be there, and give thanks for what the Lord has done to result in your salvation. Mind you that if your children are particularly distractive at this moment, that we do have cry rooms in both corners in the back of the sanctuary, and we would appreciate if you would take your children there, and you can still participate in the service with us. On the night on which He was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and He broke it and He gave thanks. Lord Jesus, in this moment, we give You thanks. As we look in a world tonight that is so filled with evil and corruption and uncertainty, we're so thankful for the living hope that we have within us through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that will never fade away. And how we thank You for that tonight. And we rejoice in Christmas as Your people, because we understand the purpose for which Christmas came about was in order that Christ could be born and then die a horrible death in order that blood might be shed and atonement might be granted to Your people. We thank You and we praise You. Then He said, "You take this and you eat it in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup, and we will follow the same procedure for those of you who are visiting with the cup. as the men were planning tonight, they didn't realize so many would be here, particularly in the balcony, so they run a little bit short on the cups. But they are filling some more, so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead, and for those of you who would like to stay and finish communion up in the balcony and so forth, we will serve you, and we will follow through on that. So if we can kind of recapture the spirit of the moment. After Jesus had finished with the bread, then he took the cup, and again he gave thanks for the cup. And I remind you that the blood of the Lord Jesus is so different from all the other Old Testament sacrifices, because his blood would only once be shed, and it would eternally result in our salvation, never need to be repeated again. And so we have good news to share. I was thinking of that tonight as we sang that song. Good news of great joy, which will be to all people. Can you think of anything better than that? And it involves this once-for-all sacrifice, Christ resurrected. Now through believing in him, God gives us the forgiveness of sins and repentance that leads unto eternal life. So he took the cup, and again he gave thanks. And let's give thanks. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for the cup. We give you thanks for this memorial which you instituted, which would forever remind us throughout this present age until you come of how complete our salvation is. And how when you cried out on that cross, it is finished, paid in full. That there's nothing further that we can do, only believe and give you our lives in order that we might see you work in us and through us in getting this message out to a world in need. And so we give you thanks for the cup tonight. And then he says, this cup represents a new covenant in my blood. This will do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. I'm going to ask that we take our hymn books and turn to 147. We will conclude with Silent Night, all three verses. For those of you who did not get served the cup, if you will just stay where you are for a moment, they probably have the cups ready, perhaps even by now, and we will take care of you when everybody else files out. So we'll kind of do this in shifts tonight, and I'm sorry about the inconvenience. Last year we had maybe 3/4 of this amount, and they hate to fill any more than they need, but I can see that I gave them an erroneous figure when I said how many I thought would be here, so I take the blame for that. 147, let's stand together as we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. All three verses. If you'd like to hold the hands of your children or your mate, spouse next to you, please feel free to do so.
Silent night, holy night, all is gone. Christ the Savior is born. silent night, holy night, Son of God, lost pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with a dawn of redeeming grace.
Heal us,
Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Let's bow together for the benediction. For those who would like to remain to take the cup, or if you already have the cup, just drink the cup during the benediction. There's nothing sacrilegious about that. We've already said all the proper words, and you can do that if you have been served, and we'll just take a moment and give you a chance to do that, and then you can conclude with the rest of us. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for these moments and thankful for the presence of your Spirit, which we have sensed even here during these brief moments of coming together. We thank you for this great body of believers and for all of our relatives who are here visiting with us. And for the occasion which draws us together, we're so thankful for family. We're thankful for our individual families, but Father, we're also thankful equally to our family in Christ, with whom we will share all of eternity because of what Christ accomplished in that moment on that cross. And then 3 days later, for the tomb to be empty and forever to be declared by that empty tomb that our Savior lives and He's coming again and He will reign, and He already reigns. And we will worship Him and be in His presence for all eternity. And we praise you and thank you. And I pray right now for those who are partaking of the cup, that this may be a special moment for them as they remember the blood of the Lord Jesus. I pray that you'll bless each family tonight as they get together for their festivities. In the midst of it all, may the Lord Jesus be the preeminent guest, the unseen guest who's there and who's honored during these moments. Now unto Him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to Him be glory and power and dominion, both now and forever. And all of God's people said, Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great Christmas.